Hello and welcome to the Poor Hammer Podcast, episode 87. I'm your host, Brad. This is my co-host, Eric.
How's it going?
And we're not joined by anyone special this week. We're back to normal. Everything will be okay. I'm sorry I scared you for a couple weeks there by changing things up. It's all okay.
Yeah, mostly healthy again. Just, you know, a little stuffed up.
All right, to celebrate the fact that the Space Marine Codex just hit last weekend, I figure it's a good time for us to visit a very basic topic that we just haven't covered.
It is surprising that we haven't.
We actually did an episode that assumed you knew this topic.
We've kind of just talked about it, but it's probably a good idea to do a bit more in depth on it, especially given that 10th has changed things quite a bit.
So let's explain once and for all, what is a Smash Captain and how do you make one?
Sounds good.
All right, so obviously by the length of this episode, you know we're not going to just read off the definition and roll credits. We're actually going to talk about quite a few examples.
I think that's necessary given it's not an exact definition. The examples are going to show more of what we actually mean.
Yeah, and we're also going to talk about how 10th edition has affected the idea of a Smash Captain.
Yeah, it's quite a bit different.
Not a great time to be a Smash Captain. And then we'll end things off with, why did I secretly care about Smash Captain? Suddenly.
All right, so you want to go with the elevator pitch for what's a Smash Captain?
Okay, so a Smash Captain is, at its core, using the most literal version of the definition, it's a captain who can smash. But specifically, it's a type of captain where you take it with a jump pack, so it's very mobile, and then you kit it out for melee combat so that it can go smash its enemies in the face, get across the board to wherever it's needed, and delete something.
Yeah, the jump aspect is not to be undersold, especially back in 9th, because there was flying that you needed to... Yeah, it was a whole thing, but it also gives mobility. And if you're trying to smash people in the face with a melee profile, it's a good idea to be able to get there quickly.
And the point of it was to be a cheap unit that could be very mobile, earn its points back by using its high offensive profile, and still be shockingly tanky for the points, because you would often have it with, like, Thunderhammer and Storm Shield, so it would have a good invuln save, a decent normal save, and it would still pound people's heads in with a Thunderhammer.
Like, it's still a character, it's still a captain that has all of its normal defensive layers. It's just kitted out with something that'll actually be able to break heads.
So every edition has had variants of the Smash Captain where you kit out your character with whatever types of relics, warlord traits, enhancements, whatever the edition has, and make them big and strong and have them go off and do glorious combat.
Yeah, I mean, we mostly played 9th, and it was definitely a thing in 9th, but it's been around forever, and it's gone through its ups and downs, and right now in 10th, we're kind of on a down, but we'll get there.
So, Smash Captain's obviously very literal to say it has to be a captain, but that was rarely how people see it. You had Smash Chaplains as a thing in 9th, where you would take a bike chaplain, kit it out with a great Relic and Warlord trait combo, and chuck it at something to blow it up. Then in other armies, we had all sorts of variants. One that we famously talked about was our Smash Sorcerer episode, which is almost exactly a year old this week.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. But that was a fun Smash Captain variant and really kind of showed that, like, it doesn't have to be a captain.
Yeah, variants of it exist in most armies, as long as you have characters with decent melee profiles. Now, AdMech might have a little bit of an issue. Necrons, ironically, with our sweet tech, had terrible issues building one of these. Most factions, though.
Yeah, it doesn't really compete with the other Smash Captains, but it's the best you have, so it's your army Smash Captain.
Yeah, you can duct tape one together in any faction, but there are certain factions that just aren't good at it.
Yeah.
We may one day come back to the topic and do every faction Smash Captain, but for right now, let's just focus on the actual core concept.
Yeah, and like you said, the purest version, the captain that's mobile and smashing, could be anything, but like, even to the point that you could have any model that can smash and is mobile fulfill the role that the Smash Captain was doing in the the army. It's just sometimes that those would be a lot more points for what you would expect.
Yeah, it's just your faction's mobile assassin.
Yeah.
So before we get into examples for 10th edition, let's rip the band-aid off and talk about 10th edition's issues with Smash Captains. Specifically, quite a few for Space Marine variants.
A lot of it comes down to the fact that, at least comparing to 9th, we had relics and warlord traits, whereas now we have enhancements and abilities on your data sheet.
And to further that, we went from two ways to upgrade your character to one, like Eric said, but also we went from auras that affect you to a bunch of abilities that tend to be, if this model is leading a unit, blank.
Which is cool for leading units and it gives it a whole different feeling, but that different feeling is not a Smash Captain.
Yeah, I don't generally hate the idea of leader.
I like it. It's just not a Smash Captain.
Yeah, it has the unfortunate downside for Smash Captains in particular.
Yeah.
Now, losing relics and warlord traits, kind of despise it. I miss the days when you could have your dude, you could have your epic hero guy that you build up and make cool. Those days are currently dead and we have to wait for them to realize the mistake.
Yeah, I think it's okay for now, but yeah, it would be nice to have a bit more customization specifically for things like Smash Captains, because that extra customization, the extra options are more complicated and make things whatever, but it makes it more difficult to have these Smash Captain style units that are designed to do something maybe not entirely intended, but obviously thought about in design.
Yeah, and the unintended one hit Space Marines, especially because like Smash Chaplain, that you're not going to play in 10th edition. It's real bad because of how they changed the chaplain compared to how chaplains worked in 8th and 9th.
Yeah, basically. But there still is a normal captain with jump pack and Space Marines. So can we make a Smash Captain still in 10th?
And it has a beautiful new kit, which has some minor issues we'll get to when we get there, but it has a beautiful new kit. So before we go into Space Marines though, let's talk about everybody else. So we're going to have to go away from our purist standpoint here.
Ooh.
And for YouTube, Borelio, you can put up my alignment chart meme I made for Smash Captains, and everyone can go have fun commenting what their alignment is for Smash Captains.
Yeah, rubber rubble, let's go.
Yeah, radical anarchist Eric.
Yeah. Overthrow the boys, we're taking control.
So, well, let's get away from the purist standpoint and talk about Smash Captain equivalents for everybody. A couple key examples, like if we just go through ones that I can think of off the top of my head. Custodes has the Blade Champion. The Blade Champion you can give the Veiled Blade to, which gives them two extra attacks. Your Kataz abilities will give you either lethal hits or sustained hits on top of the two attacks in the advance and charge. And Spicily, the three modes he has, one of them has precision, which is really rare to see on like any decent profile in melee.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's kind of shit. Like, the ability is really strong, but...
Yeah, it could be a toxic ability in certain matchups if it was everywhere. But it's very spicy when you see it. So, with his Vault Swords, he could get, like, 8 attacks, hitting on 2s, Strength 7, AP minus 2, Damage 2, but targeting it all on the character instead of having to kill the bodyguards first. And he does have other great modes, too.
Yeah, and I mean, that definitely does the smash aspects.
And it's pretty mobile with Advance and Charge. You do move less naturally than a Smash Cap does, but Advance and Charge really helps.
Right. And I think that because the Advance and Charge is part of the leading a unit thing, you have to lead a unit with this one. Like, if you don't have that, then you don't have the mobility.
Yeah, and I kind of think it's going to be true with the actual Smash Captain.
Right. It's one of those, like, you're just a slow melee fighter without that ability. But with it, yeah, it gives you quite a bit of threat range.
Yeah, let's show another pair of examples then. Do one from your armies, Eric.
Yeah, so Orcs have a couple, and I'd say most of them are gonna be the squig part of the faction, because
you boy,
we're looking for the mobility,
and it's got to be a big killy character to enhance. And your big killy things when you're in like junkyard part of Oryx is gonna be vehicles that aren't characters.
Exactly. And like, there's some cool stuff there, but not really Smash Captain, but we do have Beast Bosses. And so a Beast Boss on Squigasaur is a pretty awesome Smash Captain as far as I'm concerned, because he's got some really nice keywords with anti-monster, anti-vehicle 4-ups. He's got advance and charge, reroll, 7 attacks, and his strength 7, AP 1, and damage 2. So like, you're doing a lot of stuff with the Head Wappa's Kill Choppa giving Devwounds.
Yeah, so if you like go into a vehicle or a monster, you get Devwounds on 4 up to wound.
And one of the things there is you're not always looking to character snipe. So like the Custodes had the precision ability, so that's a character sniper. Awesome, cool. But like sometimes your Smash Captain's just trying to delete a tank.
Yeah, it depends entirely on the current meta, what you're trying to go for, what yeah. the game itself looks like.
So the Orc Beast Boss on Squigasaur moves 10 and then also has the whole advance and charge, reroll charge, so it has a massive threat radius.
Yeah, the advance and charge coming from the Wah, for those wondering. We're counting all of these to be in your normal ideal scenario with your faction abilities and all that.
Right. If your faction ability isn't particularly great or there's too many hoops or whatever, fine. But like, if we're talking about going melee and a turn that actually matters, you're going to be using the Wah. So that's just kind of assumed.
The one thing we're not doing in these examples is using stratagems, because then we get into the nightmares of having to talk about how many CP you can stack up into one character's attack. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, those can be interesting, but
part of the appeal of a Smash Captain is that it's cheap. You don't want to have to invest a bunch of CP into it. You can as a toy, but it shouldn't be part of what you're analyzing it as.
Right, and it needs to be able to hold its own without any further investment kind of thing. So I really do like the Beast Boss on Squigasaur. So I think like the Knob on Squig also would kind of work. But yeah, I mean, the Beast Boss on Squig also has surprisingly resilient defenses just built in, which is really nice to have on a Smash Captain that's charging up the board.
I know Borrelia would never take something I say out of context, especially after the things he was doing last week.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, it's so small. I wanted it to be bigger. Where's the big one? Yeah, show me it. But I love the Knob on Squig.
Yeah, you do.
I know. I can't make it not sound that way, so.
It sounds exactly how it's supposed to sound.
Yep.
And I mean, yeah, it's just one of those that they're cheap and they do the job. But we talked about your Thousand Sun that we did an actual episode focus on. Do we still have
the 9th edition Smash Sorcerer? We lost. It was a sad loss because it was one of my favorite toys that I ran far too often, even though it was not very good.
It did its job.
Sometimes.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Especially after like the shock of what the hell is that thing doing? As worn off, and you're like, I've seen this before, Brad.
Why is he powering up to Super Saiyan 2?
Yeah, right.
He just keeps screaming.
But what do we have now?
So this one, again, it's more simple because it's 10th edition and everything is more simple.
Yeah, get on with it.
It's still very fun, though. So a Demon Prince with wings still fucks in combat. And if you give it Arcane Vortex, you can crank it up to 11. So a Demon Prince with wings, obviously, is fly, move 11, all that jazz.
Which is good.
Has a good save, good invul, the whole nine yards. With Arcane Vortex, your psychic weapons, which the Hellforged Sword is for Thousand Suns, get +1 strength and +1 damage. And because it's a psychic weapon, it's also affected by our detachment rule. So you can either have it have dev wounds or sustained hits or lethal hits, which you choose at command phase for your army. It's usually going to be dev wounds, but you know, there's now a 1 in a million chance you might actually pick sustained hits.
Given dev wounds has kind of changed.
It's still gross.
It's still, yeah, but like there is potential.
It's especially gross because of what I'm about to say. So
yeah, that's true. I forgot that like you've got the strike and sweep profile that you have to choose. So
yeah, so you have two profiles on this weapon that you're going to be swinging around. When you have Arcane Vortex, you can choose chaff clearing mode of 14 attacks.
It's nice.
At a buffed stat line of strength 7, no AP, 2 damage,
and it hits on 2 still. Yeah, that's a lot of dead things.
It kills a lot of stuff, especially when Dev Wounds is triggering.
Right.
Sustained hits is good because of 14 attacks too, so there are times. Or you just go full character deleter mode, or, you know, light vehicle destroyer, whatever.
Yeah.
Which is 9 minus 2, 4 flat damage.
And still has like 6 attacks, so.
Yeah, 6 attacks to boot. Sorry, I forgot the key amount of.
It would be different if it was just 1 or 2 and it's like, oh, it did 8 damage. But nah, you can still do a lot of damage.
Yeah, so I've used this a couple times this edition now, and I have found that it's pretty common to end up dealing 8 damage to whatever you're targeting just by having a missed save and a dev wound.
And it is interesting that the Demon Prince doesn't have the whole leader troubles that Smash Captains have in 10th.
It's weird because he's not a leader type, just like with the Beast Boss on Squigasaur. But unfortunately, they knew, so they made, like, Sorcerer's Fire really bad.
It is really bad, isn't it?
It's so fucking bad. Aether Stride is really good. I'm not going to complain about Aether Stride. It makes you incredibly mobile. You're essentially a Grey Knight, popping off the board whenever you want.
Yeah, and very nice to have that on your melee Smash Captain.
So I honestly still would backdoor humble brag this as a sequel episode to Smash Sorcerer and say it still lives. It's just the Smash Demon Prince, which is a lot less surprising and interesting than making a random dude in a tin can act stronger than a Demon Prince.
Yeah, it makes sense. And we talked about our thoughts on 10th, but it still exists. And yeah, that Chaff Clear is kind of scary. The character deletes its own thing, but like that Chaff Clear is unexpected.
It's one of those great things when it's something that's already got bad saves, like Eric's Orcs.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of like, oh man, you just killed so many boys. Like,
yeah. It's fantastic in certain scenarios.
I can't even just like try and tie him down because he'll just kill him.
I'd feel so bad if I ever played against myself, essentially, in our playgroup. But
yeah,
against anyone else on Demons, where like the entire army has like a 5-up.
Oof. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Deleting whatever you touch, just in sweep mode.
Swinging through like a scythe, man. Very cool. But I think we've got enough random other ones. Let's go to the Space Marines, the reference Smash Captain.
All right, it's a lot less cool than in the old days. I'm going to warn in advance, but we can still have the most fun possible.
Okay.
So to start things off, let's talk about the kit. The Codex came out over the weekend. It's the future for us, but trucks exist and books fall off them. And I'm literate somehow, so.
Allegedly.
I don't know if you're saying allegedly to books falling off trucks or me being literate.
I was thinking the fall off trucks, but fuck, I wish I could read.
So the updated data sheet for the captain with jump pack. A, so glad that old Marines are gone for like 99% of scenarios. Hallelujah. There's less bloat in this codex. A lot of the things I was asking for from the army data standpoint a few episodes ago got cleaned up with the removal of a bunch of weird ultramarine characters from 19-2. Great codex. Not this week's episode though. I'm just maximizing the anger.
We're just like, how about we just farm some hate, even though it's not what this episode's about at all.
So, jokes aside of pissing off old Marine players, the positive for the new captain with jump pack is they seem to be unifying a lot of old Marines as Primaris Marine stand-ins now, which is what a lot of people asked for 5 years ago, so that you could just play your old Marines with Primaris rules by making a single captain, and it doesn't matter which captain you bring out, if it's an old Marine or a new Marine, it just is a captain. They do have the Tacticus keyword now, so technically you're proxying it as the new one, but whatever.
It's bullshit. Whatever. Get over it.
Anyway, the nice thing is it means your old Smash Captain can still get used, and they kept Thunderhammer and Relic Shield as an option you can equip. The downside is the beautiful new character doesn't have those in the box.
What?
You can build any other loadout on that datasheet except for the classic loadout.
Really? I mean, I obviously did not know that because I don't really care about building Space Marines, but that's insane.
It was brought up by like everyone who likes Space Marines of like, how did you not do the classic character? To which my manager manufacturing brain obviously goes, because I'm going to sell you that after you buy this one.
Right. I mean, absolutely.
Like, next year, I'm going to have you clap and cheer as I bring back the thing that I took out of this sprue.
Right. And, I mean, at a certain point, like, it shouldn't be that difficult.
No, and I still think that kit bashing is a really fun part of the hobby, so, like, yeah. It's not a big loss to me.
But there's a lot of people who don't agree with that sentiment and are probably pretty disappointed.
Yeah, it just sucks that the kit is clearly incomplete, missing the classic duo. But it's fine because we're going to use Thunderhammer Relic Shield in the examples here because I think it's cool and it is the classic, but you could swap it out for a WYSIWYG, like literally Plasma Pistol and Power Fist, and it is like so nearly identical math-wise, it doesn't matter, especially with how we kit these out.
It is pretty close, but...
You lose your Dev Wounds, you hit one better, that's the difference.
Yeah, which Dev Wounds is still good, but hitting on twos is really nice. So whatever, it works either way, but let's focus on the hammer and shield because, like you said, that's the classic. We're talking about Smash Captains. Let's keep going. Hammer, shield.
The other thing I'm going to say is I'm assuming that you're going to have him lead 5 assault intercessors with jump packs just so that you can trigger your Angel's Wrath, which is whenever you end a charge, you get to add 1 to your strength characteristic of all the models in the unit. It's a solid ability, and I want it for the Smash Captain stats we talk about here. It's just unfortunate that you can't solo and still get that.
Yeah.
But it's the edition we're in.
That's just how it is kind of thing. I do think it could work without it, but adding this extra strength going from 8 to 9 is big.
Yeah, and I'm not going to assume we're hitting the Ulsa moment target when we're talking about these stats, but we'll talk about detachment rules. So for one of the new ones you can build, let's talk about in the Firestorm Assault Force.
Woo.
If you want to be all fire and flame, the fun salamandery version of Space Marines, you can get War Tempered Artifice. Unfortunately, you don't get anything relevant to the Smash Captain for your detachment rule, but it's very cool to get a single enhancement that gives you +3 strength to melee weapons.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Combined with Angel's Wrath, that's +4 strength. That means your strength 8 Thunderhammer is actually a strength 12 Thunderhammer, so now you're wounding knights on 4s, and you're wounding everything else on 3s or 2s.
Right. 12 strength is a lot.
And if you think that's going to be overkill, you can just default to the Adamantine Mantle, which is like a more defensive buff, if you think the Thunderhammer is just good enough.
It's possible. But I mean, it generally with Smash Captains, you want to either be a like character killer, a tank killer, or I mean, I guess a chaff killer works as well, but like you want to be really, really good at one thing and then decent at the rest is all fine and stuff. But
yeah, the Adamantine Mantle though is really nice from a defensive standpoint because you get a damage reduction and you get super DR versus anything that has the Melta or Torrent keyword where it flat changes it to 1 damage.
It is true that Smash Captains that are defensive end up doing quite well because you're able to stick around kind of thing. Like even if you don't fully succeed first turn that you get in the fray, you're able to probably stick through and hit back.
Yeah, and in this case, we're also leading a unit, so we have a bunch of ablative wounds too.
That is true, yeah.
But yeah, the defensive profile is not bad when you have a DR effect and you've got a 4-up invuln. Like, you're pretty good. You got 6 wounds because of the relic shield.
Yeah, the captain with jump pack is a solidly defensive idea, especially if you're going to go this way, but generally I would focus on let's get the 12 strength and just bop Titans out of existence.
It is pretty funny.
Like...
So there's other detachments, obviously. We could do Gladius to stick with the index detachment. It's a very nice, well-rounded detachment still. I don't think it's like overly power creeped by the detachments in the Codex. I like 2 of the detachments in the Codex better and think one that isn't even one of the 2 I like might be the best. But Gladius is still like in the top 2 or 3 detachment types from like a power level standpoint.
It does a great job of being a nice default. And as a nice default, it can still do Smash Captain type things.
Yeah, and honestly, this one's probably better than the Firestorm Assault Force version. So in Gladius, you can get the Honor Vehement, which I'm sure I didn't pronounce right and don't care. which increases your attacks and strength by 1, and it increases your attacks and strength by 2 instead if you're an assault doctrine, because again, Gladius gives you the doctrines.
Yeah.
And assault doctrine is also advance and charge,
which is really nice on a jump pack unit.
Yeah, fly infantry, so you get like actual 9th edition fly for the most part.
It's close, yeah.
And then you've got advance and charge. It's a mobile unit on that turn.
Yeah.
And on that turn, it means you end up with 7 attacks at strength 11, minus 2, 2 with dev wounds when you charge. That's a lot of damage.
That's a lot of damage just from the captain, but since we're assuming it's leading a unit, it's also got some of that going on.
Yeah, he's leading a whole unit.
There's a lot of damage happening, which that's quite nice from a smash captain.
And then, obviously, we've got to round this out with one final one. The classic of all classics, Blood Angels. This is what the Smash Captain is usually shown as. It's what people think of when they think of a Smash Captain is a Blood Angel. It's just basically what the Blood Angel fantasy is. So Blood Angels, obviously, you're playing out of your Index Detachment, which is +1 to wound on charge. And you're going to take Artisan of War for your enhancement, which ends up with 6 attacks at Strength 9, AP -3. 2 damage at +1 to wound. So you're still wounding your knights on the exact same value as the Firestorm Assault Force one, and you wound the rest of the game on like 2s.
That's not bad at all.
And you get an extra attack out of the deal. Why not?
Just toss it in. It'll be good fun. I mean, that's a lot of attacks, actually. At that profile, like -3. Yeah, -3 is big in 10th.
Yeah, AP -3 is basically the best you're hoping for, unless you're firing off, like, you know, a tank deleter cannon.
Yeah, so given that it's on just, like, a reasonably cheap unit.
And to make the actual kit loadout better, when you're AP -3, your dev wounds matters less.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe hitting on 2s is better. So the Power Fist variant with like a plasma pistol is probably great here.
Yeah, that actually does make sense with the -3. So there are defensible reasons that you wouldn't just be Hammer, but man, the Hammer's so classic still.
The Hammer's the one you want to pick.
Yeah. So, all right. I mean, it seems like Smash Captains are still a thing. They're a bit different, not quite as unique anymore. You can't be a super special snowflake like Brad's Thousand Suns were. But
I miss characters, man.
I know.
I miss that series. We were having so much fun.
But there's still some cool stuff out there. And again, we're still only with 2 codexes. Everybody else is stuck on indexes. So as we go forward, there'll be more customization, more options and stuff like that, hopefully. But it's nice to see that there are still Smash Captains.
Yeah. And for our normal topic, that's about the end of it. Please make sure if you're on YouTube to do the pleasantries and all that jazz. Helps us out. But I think it's time for us to talk about the secret project and why this was on my mind this week.
Yeah. I think anybody that's made it this far into the episode could be interested in this information.
So if you're a longtime audience member of ours, you know how I feel about Space Marines.
No, say it isn't so. All of the random digs that you've had in this one.
I don't even hate you. I just don't think about you.
Yeah.
The strongest feeling I have towards Space Marines is mild annoyance every time I try to do anything where I try to do every faction, and Space Marines ruins it. All right, anyway, you know my feelings on Space Marines. Well, we made a change last week on our Patreon. Shameless Patreon plug, I guess. But we had to make a couple changes just to do upkeep for the season. We changed a couple rewards that we were having issues fulfilling so that we could offer something equally as juicy that was a lot easier for us to actually fulfill.
Yeah, I was like in that. We might actually be able to accomplish it before I'm dead.
Yeah, so things that don't matter for this example. However, this leads us to the one that does matter for this story, which is, out of all the tiers, one of the most problematic tiers we had to change was ironically the one called Spiteful Idiot.
The one that shouldn't have been a problem ever.
Yeah, Spiteful Idiot was meant as a joke.
It was very much a, wouldn't it be funny if we put an unreasonably dumb amount as an option?
Yeah, so we gave it a funny reward because you weren't supposed to ever become a Spiteful Idiot. Famously, Daniel McKinnon,
yep,
longtime producer of this show, became one several years ago when we were nobodies and we had like literally 50 patrons.
Yeah, eternally grateful and all of that. And you're still crazy for having done it.
We did an old audio episode about the whole experience and all that. But the reward back then was Eric would paint a model for you. And the joke of it was, you're being spiteful because Eric famously hated painting and made my wife paint his Grey Knights. He's growing up and he's like almost an adult now. So that joke doesn't work as much anymore and it takes more explaining nowadays. A little outdated. But anyway, the reward stuck around because we weren't really thinking about it.
Well, and it was one of those where it was like, okay, we got one. It sounds about right. Maybe we'll get one more in the next 2 or 3 years or something like that. That'd be fine.
And then that happened this spring. Yeah. We got our second ever spiteful idiot and we went hurrah, right?
Yeah, that's cool. It's going to be a lot of work, but yeah, it's nice.
So Eric will find time eventually to finish that. But that was, to put this in perspective, that was in like March. We're in October. That spiteful idiot doesn't have his model that he requested. And this is about the turnaround time that I expected Eric to take.
Yeah.
So anyway, we had our big boom of a lot of people becoming fans of the show. And
which is awesome.
Fantastic. Much better than the alternative.
Yeah.
And because of that, the Patreon exploded. We have a lot of patrons we're eternally grateful for, all that jazz. Unfortunately for Eric's soul,
yeah.
In a single week last month, we had 3 different people become spiteful idiots all on their own.
The first one came in and I was like, oh, that's a problem. The second one, I was like, oh, shit. And then it was just like, I'm fucked.
5 hours later.
I'm just fucked. Like, they know that they're not getting anything for like 2 years, right?
So Eric quietly cried that night.
Yeah. We'll say it was quietly because nobody can prove otherwise.
I emergency band-aided the tier as we realized that would become unsustainable instantly.
Yeah.
If we started having like 10 people apply to it a year.
I mean, honestly, even 3 a year was unsustainable.
Yeah, we could not do that many.
Yeah.
So we locked it temporarily and I was like, okay, no new spiteful idiots till we remake it to what I'm about to explain.
But at the same time, it was like, we're still going to do, you made it, we'll commit to it, I'll do it. It's going to take some time.
Oh, absolutely. We're so thankful to those who have donated. Thank you.
We're not like retroactively screwing anybody out of whatever.
You are truly an idiot if you pay us that much of your hard-earned money.
Exactly.
You're insane.
And in changing this, because it had to get changed, like it just, like you said, it wasn't sustainable. We still wanted to keep it as the original intent of you're insane and you're being spiteful to us.
Yes. So obviously the original was done as a gag from me to be spiteful to Eric.
Yep.
But then I had a thought that I'm not often known to have, where I said, what if instead of torturing my best friend, I instead torture myself?
It's absolutely crazy.
So we needed something that would be far easier for us to actually fulfill than the whole custom order process for having someone get a model painted.
It also wouldn't really make sense to force you to paint. You've already done 5 more-ish armies.
I've done pieces of at least 5. More when we count, you know, one-off models.
So it doesn't really make any sense that it would be spiteful to make you paint a model.
No. So I've had an idea in the background for a while. We talked about it long ago on, I believe, on the Space Marine Subfaction episode or on one of the lore episodes or something.
Maybe a Q&A or it was something, yeah.
So on one of the episodes, I talked about if I ever had to suffer making a Space Marine army, I wanted to do it a certain way.
Yeah.
And that was in the back of my mind while I was showering, while trying to think of a solution for the spiteful idiot. And it hit me of, why don't I make a Space Marine army? I waste money on this game all the time. Why not one more?
Very true.
And then we'll make the reward. You're just getting a nameplate printed and painted and put on one of my Space Marines that I have to, you know, have an army of and paint up. And we will make it an army of spiteful idiots eventually over infinite time.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those that, like, there's no expectation of it being quick still because you're going to have to actually make the model and do all of that and then put the nameplate.
The first ones won't be quick, but it does mean that once I get the basic army built and painted and all that, then it's a lot easier for us to go, okay, we have to do one new nameplate. My brother can get it printed off over the weekend. I can prime it, paint it, and glue it to a model in an afternoon after dinner so it's not eating into our only free day of the week.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier than asking multiple weeks of work on our only free day off for Eric to sacrifice the whole day to get something painted.
Yeah. Especially
because,
like,
because it's Eric and he won't actually show up to the free day off. And instead he'll screw off across state because he likes his family.
Yes, except not ironic and petty. I do think it should be pretty interesting, and we're gonna try and figure out how to do pictures of models at some point in the future, so that, like, once you have done this, if somebody does this and is a spiteful idiot and forces Brad to go out of his way to make the Space Marine and get a nameplate and stuff, we'll have, like, a nice picture to be like, yep, this is what you forced him to do.
We can show them off on the Patreon, and we can occasionally show them off in the credits on the show, or just generally at the end of an episode while we're whoring out our Patreon or whatever.
Yeah.
That's how we'll handle it, and we'll probably do a status update episode every once in a while for the Space Marine project, because I think a lot of you will get, you know, some good laughter out of it. So,
and at some point eventually there could be some fun stories with the actual gameplay.
That's true. I liked the one horrifying suggestion one of the patrons made.
I absolutely think you should.
Of ping the spiteful idiots on Discord every time their character dies.
Yep.
Which is hilarious, but also I probably shouldn't punish people who are donating stuff to us.
Yeah, that is true.
I will say, today I went out and I purchased some initial kits to start with from our LGS. I bought two value boxes. I'll go into more detail on a future episode about all this. And I went on eBay and bought some secondhand models just because they were so cheap. And I was like, this will be the starting point. I can work with this. I think this will also be a challenge army where I will not allow it to be anything. I will try to build the army out of value boxes and out of things that are secondhand off, like, mini swap and eBay.
So a bunch of, like, kit bashing?
Probably some kit bashing and stuff, too. And 3D printing will be on the table, obviously, because we're strong proponents of 3D print the shit you want. I'm going to be printing off those amazing Terminator sculpts that I've seen people post before with those beautifully painted custom Terminator proxies that aren't quite right. So yeah, we may bring this up as an episode in the future. If you guys are interested, tell us, because if we get a lot of people who are hyped for the idea of, you know, a challenge army where we talk about how it got built up and what value boxes combined turned into this force, then we'll do that. That would be a really cool idea in my head, at least, and I hope you guys like it. So tell us. Don't be shy if you like it, but there you go.
So if you're interested in more of the specifics, there's a Patreon post. Go take a look and whatever. But beyond that, Brad, what are you painting it?
Oh, I guess I hadn't said it on this episode. I'm going to be painting the most loyal chapter of Primaris Marines ever to exist. Hydra Dominatus.
Oh, you're really going to go full on it, right?
We're going full Alpha Legion.
Full Alpha Legion, you're going to do the split in half, like, it's transforming.
I don't want to promise that because I don't know if I'm skilled enough, but it's already on my list of things to attempt. We'll see if I can pull that off, at least for, like, a couple key characters.
I feel like that adds in that extra little bit of spite, because that is difficult. And that means that, like, you've got to spend the extra time with the Space Marine and really put your best effort into it. I like that as an idea.
I really want to be able to pull that off. I love the idea of this army. It's, like, my favorite middle finger Space Marine faction of, like, get every named character, paint them as Alpha Legion, and it's all Alpha Legion soldiers pretending to be whoever I want to be that time.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's a great excuse to paint up every faction of Space Marines you could dream up and have it be totally within your canon.
Yeah, it is.
I love this idea, and I actually am somewhat excited to go on this horrible adventure.
Fascinating that you say that now. We'll see.
I'm going to hate this later, which is why it's great for the spiteful idiots.
Yeah, I'm excited. And it is very nice that it's not spiteful against me this time.
You still have to finish up the rest of the models.
I've got another 2 years that I've got backlog of spite against me, but at least I'm not suffering alone anymore.
I do have the extra thing I threw on myself. It's in the Patreon post that we originally made. All of our previous spiteful idiots also get this spiteful idiot reward. For however many months they were a spiteful idiot, they get to add one name to the pool.
Yeah.
I will do this for you guys because you are owed this.
Yeah.
And to our audience out there who is aghast at the idea of paying us $200 a month, don't worry, you're a sane person.
Yeah.
We have much more sane tiers with good rewards you could pick instead.
It's true. But I think that that's a good story time ending.
Yeah, this was kind of we had a short topic, but we also wanted to do news, but we didn't want it to, like, interrupt an unrelated topic. So I wanted to weave it all together into, like, one longer episode here. I know we probably lost half the audience halfway through, but that's fine. I think it's a fun idea, and I'm excited for what comes next. I hope you guys are too. But that's enough of us this week. Let's get out of here.
Sounds good.
All right, no real news for the week other than if you're a patron, you can go read the Patreon update from last week. Check it out. There's not that much that'll be shocking. Basically, all of our patrons know this from Discord conversations. Hell, half of you helped pick out the new versions of these. But there you go. We would normally do our monthly shout out this week, but we can't because I secretly recorded this way early because I'm out of town the week that you guys hear this.
No dedication at all.
I know. That's why I'm recording in advance so that you guys can have something uninterrupted. No dedication. Yeah, we'll do shout outs next week. Maybe we'll do them in the main episode just to reward you guys for waiting. We'll see how it goes, and depends how much I love you. That wraps it up for this week. I'm Brad. You can find me on Twitter as at Dr. Ruler. You can find Eric
on Twitter at One Cool Osora.
The show has an email, as always, which is thepoorgamerpodcast@gmail.com.
We've got some merch at Orchid 8. Take a look.
Oh, that's so much better than shouting out our broke-ass website. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
That's hot. Oh, I like hearing that. Link in the show notes. And we have a Patreon, of course, at patreon.com/solisingleton. You can join great patrons like Soul in keeping us running.
And we have producers there. Brandon Janke, Jeffrey Bowser, Jan Geisy, Michael Sullivan, Nick DeFeo, Robert Toino, Rudy Mannion, Ryan Walters, and William Asinari. Thank you so much for supporting the show.
All right, that does it for us this week. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you all tune into whatever we're doing next. Until then, have a great week, everyone. Eric, take us out.
So where would you chart a knight on this Smash Captain?
Purist Rebel.
All right. Mobile, smashy, but any type of model. Fair enough.
My joke one when I made the original was Wraith Knight. It was more relevant a few weeks ago.
That's true. Yeah.
When I made this, it was slightly more relevant.
get nerfed.